Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 1 of The Orbit. My name is Alexa Ford and I am the Editor-in-Chief of The Sputnik, Wilfrid Laurier University's independent student newspaper on the Brantford campus. The Orbit is The Sputnik's official podcast where I sit down and have conversations with writers, sources, and alumni. On the very first episode of Season 3, I am very excited to be joined by a source I met while writing my latest piece in the Sputnik, entitled, Laurier's Brantford Campus. Is it really accessible for all? Let's find out. Okay, today I am joined by Alana Leggett, third year social work major, and today we're going to talk about an article that I wrote about accessibility on campus. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure. So we'll get right into it. I want to ask you a little bit about your experience navigating the Brantford campus as a student with a disability. What's it been like?
Well, when I started at Laurier, I was primarily able-bodied, so I didn't really have any issues.
Mm-hmm.
But when I developed my disability, I was, like, all of the walking from one side of the campus to the other is very difficult. And I have basically a heat intolerance, so when the classrooms, especially in One Market, they get really warm. I'm like, I need a fan or just need to have a break, go for like a small walk because it's very intense in there. Navigating the campus itself, it's not too difficult. For people who would be in a wheelchair, it would be very difficult because One Market only has one accessible entrance. And if there's only one elevator that's working, then sometimes you can't really even get to your class.
Yeah. And how often, in your experience, or have you seen, has elevators been out of service quite often?
There's usually an email sent by facilities, but it's more like Grand River Hall when they also have two elevators.
But
I haven't really seen too much. It's not too often.
Okay. Well, that's good at least.
That's good.
Yeah. So the walking. So what do you think is the biggest issue students with disabilities face on this campus?
I feel like there's a lack of accessibility buttons because even if, say, you have your hands full, but you are able-bodied, then the buttons can come in handy.
Yeah, for sure.
For people in wheelchairs especially, or if you're just carrying something, then they can be useful, but a lot of doors don't have them.
And
there's a lot of places that where the doors say that it's accessible, but there's no button. So then someone in a wheelchair has to push the door open while also wheeling themselves in, which can be very difficult for that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It's harder to do that when there's no buttons there for it. And it was interesting on our walking tour when you showed me around the accessible washroom downstairs in the Odeon. There's an elevator to get to it, and there's a button outside of the washroom to get in. But the door from the elevator to the bathroom doesn't have an accessibility button. So it was really shocking when you showed me that because
the washroom itself doesn't even have the accessibility button.
Oh, no?
No.
Okay, so yeah, so it has the sign saying accessibility, and technically there is a way to get to it, but it's not convenient because once you take the elevator downstairs, you're kind of, it's up to you to figure out how to get through the doors and they're heavy doors. And
if they are heavy doors.
Yeah, if you're in a wheelchair, it's even harder to prop it open unless you have someone there to help you. But what are the odds that you always have someone there to help you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm glad you mentioned about One Market because I know you mentioned in our last interview that you had an incident in a One Market classroom where you lost consciousness because of the heat. Can you tell me a bit about that day and like what happened and what happened afterwards, like what response you got?
Well, I have a condition that caused me to faint a lot. So for me, fainting is basically normal. But I went to the Dean of Students office and I was talking to them because I'm not sure how I'd contact facilities to be like, hey, this needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was talking to them, I'm just like, hey, this classroom is really hot. I like pass out in there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like there needs to be something done. And they may have slightly done something.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't really anything.
Yeah. What did they say they did?
I guess adjusting the heat. I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
But
Did they like give you any updates? Like did they follow up with you afterwards? Nope. Saying like, oh no, they haven't?
No follow up whatsoever.
No, really.
So it was up for me to basically be in the classroom. One of them does have a fan,
mm-hmm.
but it's at the very back of the classroom and it does nothing.
Oh.
I was there when I was talking to a friend and it basically just blows lukewarm air.
Yeah, so it's not helping.
So I carry a little portable fan with me mm-hmm. because I get so hot and I can't always rely on the classrooms to
for sure.
Yeah. Be warm.
So you have to bring your own stuff with you to make sure that you're comfortable. In a Laurier yeah. classroom. That's unfortunate.
It's mainly just the one market classrooms that are like that. Mm-hmm. I haven't had that experience with the heat with Odeon or RCW or the 97 DeLuzzi Street building.
Mm-hmm. Those ones are better temperature controlled?
Those ones are better.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
That is good to hear.
Yeah.
It is very good.
So you kind of touched on this a bit, but when you have concerns or let's say an incident happens to you or your friends that you notice there's an accessibility issue, you mentioned you bring them up to the Dean of Students office. That's who you can, that's who your contact is usually?
Primarily also because I don't know who else to go to, so mm-hmm. they can, I guess, branch off from there.
Yeah.
And they can contact the responsible departments
because
mm-hmm. I don't think myself can contact facilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you contact Dean of Students office, do you go in person or call or do you email them? How does
I usually go in person.
Yeah. And what's their response usually to when you come to voice a concern?
Well, especially with heat in a class in classrooms, mm-hmm. especially in one market.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was saying about how offices and classrooms shouldn't be above a certain temperature. And mm-hmm. even over the summer, they had to get fans for
mm-hmm.
the offices because it was getting too hot.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they do give you some response about they're going to work on it or that they're going to bring the issues up with facilities?
I think they relay the issue, but mm-hmm. it's just...
Has facilities ever reached out to you?
No.
No.
Not once.
Okay. All right.
Which I don't even think that's their, like, responsibility, mm-hmm. but...
Well, I think I did speak with the assistant president of the facilities, and they do have... There's long-term plans, and there are things that you can do, but they do say... She did mention to me that, like, if there is a concern... You could email her, or like even if you email anyone in admin, they should relay it to them. So it's interesting that maybe they haven't reached out, or maybe they're working on it behind the scenes and we just don't know about it.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, what improvements would you like to see on the Brantford campus?
Especially having those buttons mm-hmm. in place, because those, for a city and... especially school that claims to be very inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
What if it stops at accessibility issues, mm-hmm. then it's not necessarily inclusive.
Yeah.
Also actually doing something about the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because those one market windows don't open, so we can't let in fresh air.
Yeah. Do you think maybe having more fans, like if, because it seems like in an old building, like one market, and when I spoke to the woman from facilities, she said these old buildings are harder to repair, which I do understand because they're older buildings that Laurier's bought. But do you think like short-term solutions, like having more fans and things like that in classrooms, just ready to use when and if we need to use them, would be a better solution.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Like, do you think, what else could classrooms do, or just build like city buildings here that we have?
I'm not necessarily sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. So is there any area or areas on campus that you think are perfectly accessible or maybe like pretty close?
I think the 97 Deluzzi Street building is great. Mm-hmm. The only issue that I would have would be that the accessibility entrance is off of basically an alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's a very open alleyway.
Yeah.
But that itself, it's quite accessible, I noticed.
The 97 Deluzzi Street.
Yeah.
One.
Mm-hmm. And the classroom is nice.
Mm-hmm.
The upstairs where the social work offices are, they're also nice.
That's so good. There's enough accessibility buttons in that class, in those buildings?
I think so, yes.
Okay, and then the elevators, like everything there works and it's easy to access. Yeah. Okay, well, that's great. I know you mentioned in our last interview too, classroom accessibility. You said that Carnegie 207 was pretty good. What was it about that class that's pretty accessible?
It had whiteboards all around, and you can move the desks easily. Move the chairs easily. Mm-hmm. Everything was very easy to move if there was, say, different accessibility needs, mm-hmm. or if there was different learning styles.
Okay.
Because I know some classes will have people writing on the whiteboards in groups or something. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there's whiteboards all around the classroom. So you're not crowded on a few whiteboards mm-hmm. and have to move some of the desks.
Yeah. Great. And so my last question is, in our last interview and in the article, you said something that's really stuck with me since you said it. You said that the world was not made for people with disabilities. It was made by able-bodied people for able-bodied people, which was a great quote, I have to say.
Absolutely.
It was great. So could you tell me a bit more and like kind of expand on that and tell me about how your experience has been navigating through what you feel and say is a world that wasn't made for people with disabilities?
Well, say for people with vision loss, mm-hmm. sometimes there is the Braille that is accessible. Mm-hmm. In some washrooms there are the sign with the Braille is basically almost in the washroom.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is looking for the female washroom,
mm-hmm.
they're they could almost be going into the men's washroom to read the Braille.
Oh, yeah.
But then some elevators either don't have Braille or mm-hmm. the Braille is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really think about that as people who are sighted.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are able-bodied and can walk perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
No issues. They don't really think about accessibility buttons or doors.
Mm-hmm.
And they really only think about what their needs are. They mm-hmm. don't usually think about what other needs are.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's kind of like an afterthought maybe in our society to think about people with disability and accessibility needs?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's not their first thought, and I can understand how that's not their first thought, but it should be quite up there.
Mm-hmm.
With it shouldn't have to be bringing someone like bringing attention to it before someone does something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you think, what advice or suggestions would you have for fellow Laurier students who to maybe shift their thinking, or to maybe what should people without disabilities know about becoming more mindful of accessibility?
even just advocating for it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think the one market classrooms are very warm, also bring that up to someone, because the more voices that are on the subject, the mm-hmm. more attention it will get and the better the response will be.
Amazing. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Alana. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure speaking with you again. That's all, folks. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out this article and many more in this month's edition of The Sputnik, on stands and online now at The Sputnik. That's SPUTNIK.ca. And check out our socials, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn to stay updated on what we're up to. And of course, don't forget to tune in to the next episode of The Orbit here on Radio Laurier. Until next time, I'm Alexa Ford. Have a good day.